Great to have you with us here for Garden Talk. Going to turn our attention to straw bale gardening. And I tell you what, we've been talking about this for a while now with our guest, Joel Karsten. And I think it's time to catch up with the inventor of the method, who is Joel Karsten. He's traveled actually around the world introducing this method, has written a number of best-selling books on the topic. And I'd love to know, I know many folks have tried straw bale gardening who listen to Garden Talk. And I'd love to hear your own input and your own questions maybe, or your own experiences. How's it been for you with straw bale gardening? Give a call. The number 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us to talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org. Joel Karsten with us by phone. Joel, thank you for joining in today.
Yeah, one more time. We're going to do it one more time, huh, Larry?
You know, I was trying to remember the...
I believe.
What's that?
I think it was 2013 was the first time I was on.
I was just going to ask you that. I couldn't remember, and you were already rolling a little bit at that time.
Yeah, I think that was when my first book came out with Cool Spring Press, the publisher, and they did a whole bunch of PR, and I think you guys bit on the hook.
Well, you sold a couple of books as a result, I think.
I sure did. Yeah, a lot of Wisconsin gardeners that have heard me for the first time on Larry Mueller, and then they become straw bale gardeners. So I have people all over Wisconsin. It's probably the state with more straw bale gardeners, only behind Minnesota, and that's because I'm from here, but only behind Minnesota. So.
That's pretty cool. Well, for those who haven't tried it, explain why straw bale gardening first, maybe.
Sure. Well, anytime you have a situation where you have soil that's not conducive for gardening, you know, it would take a lot of amendments or a lot of adjustments in order to make it work. If you have a small area, straw bale gardening is great because you can literally do it anywhere. We've done straw bale gardening in parking lots, on rooftops, or you just put it on top of your grass right in the backyard and you can start a garden right there. So you can do it anywhere. The concept of straw bale gardening is simple once someone explains that we're not really growing in straw. We're growing in decomposed straw, and that's the kicker. You first have to get the bale to begin decomposing inside. We do that by a process called conditioning, which is really where we feed the bacteria in the bale, a little bit of nitrogen and some water. That gets that bacteria to colonize and starts to decompose the straw, turns that into compost, and now you can plant. After a couple weeks of conditioning, you can plant right into the bale. And the big advantage, there's no weeds. It holds water really well. It's raised up off the ground, very inexpensive to get started. So, you know, there's lots of reasons to do it. Usually get 2 years out of a bale. You know, if you kind of reconnoiter them a little bit, you can get a second year out of them. So, you know, bale straws, $5. People say, well, you know, that's expensive. But if you compare that with having to pull weeds all summer, I'll take the $5 bale of straw.
You got that right. Although $5 was, I was noticing some prices for straw bale. You know, when you started, when you were first on the show back in 2013, you could get a bale of straw for $1 or $2.
Yep.
And now I see them sold at, you know, some places like a Fleet Farm kind of place. They might be $20 a bale.
Yeah, isn't that something? People blame me for the inflation of straw bale prices.
Farmers love you.
I'll take a little of the blame because I used to be one of those kids that sold them for 25 cents at the sale barn when I was a kid, 25 or 50 cents a bale. We thought we were, you know, kings back then.
But. Well, you don't need straw. I mean, but straw is really, I think, the best medium for it, to be perfectly honest.
And you know, if you're looking around and you become a straw bale gardener, you start to see straw bales where you didn't see them before. You know, in the fall, someone's doing their Halloween decorations, and you go up to them and say, "Hey, when you're done with that bale, is there any chance I could get that for spring?" So if you're sneaky, you can accumulate bales without having to work too hard for free or almost free.
Oh gosh, how do you must buy yours in bulk. I mean, how many straw bales do you go through in a year?
Well, you know, at my home garden here, I only do about 30 bales, so that's not that many. And then I have a garden over at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds, so I do a bunch over there. So I do buy them in bulk, but people are always surprised. You know, I try different stuff because I like to try different mediums. Last year, I did my whole garden in Kernza straw. You've ever heard of Kernza?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a perennial grain crop, so you plant it once and it keeps coming back year after year, and you can actually harvest the grain. It's like oats, wheat, you know, it's a cereal grain. But the straw that it produces is kind of real coarse, but it worked really well. We did a whole garden in it last year, and I was surprised. I was a little nervous about it when I first got the bales because I'd never really seen a bale of Kernza straw in real life before. And I thought, man, this is really coarse. I don't know if it's going to work, but it ended up working really well. I had a magnificent garden last year. So,
well, I'm glad to hear that for sure. What do you and at the end of the growing season, you just leave them sit for next year?
Yeah, usually if they're first year bale, usually I just leave them. You know, there'll be some that get completely used up. You know, if you plant a zucchini in a bale of straw, that zucchini really uses up all of the straw bale, you know, because it really decomposes and uses all the nutrients out of there. So that bale you probably would maybe put on top of some of the other bales that have shrunk a little bit, but they're still there. You know, they're still holding their shape. And then you could plant in that a second year. Those second year bales, Larry, work really well for all your root crops like potatoes and carrots and beets. They work really well. And any crops that you want to plant really early in the season, like your cool season stuff, you know, lettuces and spinach and peas and beans and cauliflower and broccoli and those things that you want to get in real early, the second year bales work well for that. The first year bale is going to be hot for a little while because you're going to put some nitrogen on it, and that bale is going to warm up inside. So, you know, you need to wait for it to go 2 weeks, and then it'll cool down, and then you can start planting in it. Well, if you want to get something started really early, like potatoes, for instance, a second-year bale works really well for that.
You know what I did with the second-year bales? I couldn't keep them together, so the strings were – so I put them in a big pile.
Mm-hmm.
And I did the Ruth Stout method. Ruth Stout did this years back. I just – in the pile, I put the potatoes, you know, cut them up and so forth, and just lifted up the some of the bale and stuck the potatoes in there, and and just let them go. And I'm telling you what, it's nice when you harvest them because they're not all dirty.
Yeah, and you don't have to break your back with a fork trying to get them out of the ground, you know. Yeah, it's a pretty slick way to do it. Yeah.
Well,
I tell people once you grow potatoes in bales of straw, you'll never go back to growing them any other way because it's so much easier.
Oh man. And an email from Jan wants to know, what is the whole process to get you know, when you start? And I think this is probably a good thing to do for people who aren't familiar or those who are going to be doing this pretty quickly. There's a process that takes, I don't know, a couple weeks, 10 to 14
days.
Yeah,
10 days, and then you can get started usually on the 12th day. If you're using an organic source of nitrogen, like blood meal, to condition the bales, then you got to give yourselves a little bit longer. It takes about 18 days. But if you just use we have a product called Bale Buster that we make just for straw bale gardeners. That works in about 10 days. You're ready to plant by the 12th day for sure. Or if you're using like lawn fertilizer, that would act quickly also because it dissolves more quickly and becomes available for the bacteria much more quickly. And that basically the bacteria are going to eat all of this nitrogen that you put on the bale. They're going to consume that or metabolize that, and that causes them very quickly to reproduce inside the bale, or what we call colonize the whole bale. Once that whole bale is colonized, then those little microbes, bacteria, start to metabolize or eat the straw itself, and they break the leaf of the straw or the stem back down into the cells, and then the cells, they break those back down into the molecules that created the cells. And now from that straw, all of those molecules of things like nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, molybdenum, zinc, iron, calcium are all going to be available inside that bale for a new plant to be able to absorb. So you keep the bales a little bit moist, and you add a source of food for the bacteria, and very quickly that bale will begin decomposing. Does not take long at all. Within a day or two, you'll feel it really heat up inside the bale.
Yeah, and you really need to water those bales down the first, what, 3 days, isn't it?
Really the first day, yeah. The first time you do it, really soak them really well. And then after that, don't put quite as much on because we just want to keep them moist, enough for the bacteria to be able to move around inside the bale. But we don't want to put so much on that we wash the bacteria out of the bale. So we need to, you know, after that first time when you really drench them well, then after that, just about a gallon every time you apply a little of the fertilizer or the bale buster, then about a gallon of water on top of that. And you'd be really surprised how effective it is. It gets hot. People put their hand in there. You can't even keep your hand inside the bale. It'll get 140, 145 degrees inside there.
Yeah, which is pretty darn nice. Pretty cool.
Yeah, crazy.
And the fertilizer itself, what are we talking about? Let's say your bale buster or probably a lawn fertilizer or something like that if you got it.
Right. Yeah, something that's at least 20% nitrogen. You know, and you want to look for something, you can look on the tag on the bag. It should be mostly soluble nitrogen. You know, don't get something that's a slow release. So I always tell people, buy the cheap stuff. You know, don't buy the expensive lawn fertilizer because that'll have slow release in it. You don't want that. You want the quick release. So usually the store brand works really well. And you end up needing, on an average-sized bale, you need about 2.5 cups. But you want to put that on kind of slowly. So you start, you know, the first day with a half a cup, and then the third day, another half cup, and then the fifth day, another half cup. And then you do about a quarter of a cup the last 3 days. And you just gently water it in with that 1 gallon of water. And those bacteria will move inside the bale. So they'll come right up to the surface, and they'll grab that nitrogen right off the surface, and that'll work to power their reproduction, which is really what we're after.
And then after the 10th day, is that pretty much it for fertilizer for the rest of the summer?
Yeah, you probably, more than likely, if you don't overwater, that's what I tell people, if you water too much, it'll leach out some of your nutrients, you know, nitrogen especially. But don't overwater and just keep enough moisture in that bale to keep it moist, but so nothing goes through the bale. And you won't have to fertilize again for the rest of the year. That the bacteria eat that nitrogen, and when the bacteria dies, it releases the nitrogen that it ate or it metabolized inside of its inside of the bacteria itself, and then it will also release the nutrient molecules from the straw that it's broken down. So yeah, it's a quick little study on biology that happens inside of that bale, but it works really well. You know, people assume when they look over the neighbor's fence, oh, they just bought a straw bale and they shoved the tomato in the bale. Trust me, if you try that, it's not going to work. You know, you have to do that prep process, otherwise you don't get good results.
I remember with the first year I tried it, the tomato plants. The bale had kind of broken up, and so at the end of the year, and I the tomato plant itself, I was amazed at the root structure of that tomato plant. I mean, it was, you know, you're putting the bales the scratchy side up, let's put it that way, and so that's quite a distance from top to bottom on a standard size bale, but those roots had gone all the way down to the bottom of that bale.
Oh yeah, sometimes they'll even grow down 2-3 feet into the soil as well. If you put it on top of good soil, you know, they'll go right through the bale. So yeah, for sure. We have a community garden out in Kearney, New Jersey, Larry, that was built on top of a contaminated brown site. So there's lead, mercury, and stuff in the soil. And they just put this big, thick industrial landscape fabric down, and then they put wood chips, and then they put bales on top of that. So when their roots get through the bale, they don't want them going down into the soil because they would absorb all those bad things out of the soil. So they needed that layer of matting there to keep them out. But the roots will go right down into the wood chips and everything right on top of that mat. So it's pretty amazing how aggressive they are.
Well, if you have something underneath, too, you can, any little critter that wanted to dig up and dig into your roots is going to be stopped, too.
Yeah, moles or voles or something like that. Yeah, for sure. I tell people to put hardware cloth down if they got, you know, that little real thin or real small square wire.
Yeah.
You can unroll that and put the bales on top of that. If you have gophers or if you have moles or voles or something already in your yard, you probably want to put that down just to keep them from eating your potatoes out of the inside of the bale.
Joel Karsten, our guest today, his website is strawbalegardens.com. And there's good videos. There are all kinds of things on his website and how you can buy his fertilizer and that sort of thing as well. Our guest today, I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Talking straw bale gardening today with Joel Karsten, and great to have him back. And Linda in Appleton has a question for you. Joel, let's go there. Hi, Linda.
Yeah, I have a straw bale that I had last year, and I never conditioned it last year. Can I just plant in it this year, or do I need to condition?
You'll still want to do a little bit of conditioning. You might be surprised how you'll get through the first half of the conditioning process, and the bale will already be 140 degrees or so inside. Then you can just, you know, discontinue the rest of it. Because you've got some decomposition that's already started happening just because the bale has been wet and it's been sitting outside for a year. So just, you know, put the first half of the process, put your hand in there. If it feels nice and warm inside the bale, then you can just stop adding the nitrogen.
All right. Does that help, Linda?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. You can join in too, 800-642-1234, email to talk at WPR.org. Terry might not have heard your comment earlier, but was wondering how often to fertilize once the plants are in the straw bales.
Yeah, you probably won't need to fertilize. You know, I went all summer last summer, Larry, and I didn't even turn my irrigation system on until the first or second week in August when it got really hot. And then because Mother Nature did it, you know, I got a half a gallon or a gallon of water every week from Mother Nature on top of that bale, with a nice rainfall, half an inch of rain. And as long as you don't overwater the bales, you'll be surprised how you won't need to fertilize. There's a lot of nutrients inside that bale as it decomposes. So.
And you mentioned your sprinkler system or your watering system is, and that's for somebody with 30 bales, that probably makes a lot of sense. But you don't have to do that.
No, you could water by hand, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Or put a soaker hose. A lot of people just use a plain old soaker hose. I use a drip system. You know, mine's been in place for 15 years. So I have a high flow dripper right next to where my tomato plants go. And I know exactly where my tomatoes go every year because I plant them in exactly the same place every year. So I don't have to change up the irrigation system. And that's the great thing about bales is they're easy to move. So I can move a bale over, put a new bale underneath, and plant my tomato right in that bale. There's no crop rotation needed.
Maybe a little bale rotation.
Yeah, exactly.
Joe in Madison, your turn. Thanks for calling, Joe.
Thanks for having me. I'm on day 12 of my straw bales cooking, and it's been so cold in Madison that I've been putting on pretty warm water to kind of get it going. But it's been maybe too hot, and so I've been feeding buckets out of the shower, so it's shower temperature, nice hot water, and pouring it on. But I'm worried that I've killed all the bacteria because the bales are only, I don't know, ambient temperature of the outside air right now.
Hmm. I assure you, you have not killed them. They're very, very tough bacteria. I wouldn't worry about it. You know, sometimes you don't detect the heat that's happening inside of the bale. It'll be right in the core, right in the center of the bale. And as soon as you get a warm day where it's, you know, 75, 80 degrees, overnight, you'll see those bacteria will colonize the whole bale very quickly. So I wouldn't worry about it. Even if it's ambient temperature, the same temperature as the air, your garden's going to be just fine. You can go right ahead and plant here on day 12, as long as it's not above 105 degrees inside the bale. If it's above 105, if you stick your hand in there and it feels hot on your skin, it's probably above your body temperature, which is 98.6 if you're healthy today. Then if it's above that, I'd wait to plant. But if it feels cool or tepid on your hand, you could go get your vegetables and get them started already.
It's a good idea. It's a good idea. Joe, does that help?
It does. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, Joe.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. I'm just wondering, how has straw bale gardening changed your life, Joel?
Oh, it's changed everything. Yeah, well, I mean, when I started doing this, Larry, 35 years ago this spring, it was just me doing an experiment because I didn't have decent soil at this house I had bought, and I had about, an inch of topsoil. So I bought some bales. I grew up on a dairy farm in southwest Minnesota, and we'd always have an old bale with a broken string laying by the barn, and big thistles would grow out of it. So I thought, I don't have money to make raised beds, but I can get these bales, and I'll just try planting right into the bale. So I tried some experiments, tried different things, and I discovered how well this worked. And then for 15 years, I did it by myself in my backyard. A few friends and colleagues came over and looked at it and thought it was pretty cool, and I took pictures. And then one day, a reporter from Care 11, which is our NBC affiliate, he heard about this, and he came over, and he filmed it, and he put it on the news that night. And the next day, everything changed. My whole life changed. I went and did talks for community gardening, for extension service, for garden clubs and 4-H clubs, and you name it. And then that same TV reporter said, Joe, you should write a book about this because people would like to learn more. And I said, how can I write a book? I can hardly spell the word horticulture. He said, you just write down what you told me today in this interview. And he said, people will be interested. So I wrote my first little self-published book, and I put it on this brand new website that had just come out called Facebook. And people started buying this little booklet that I had made, and it started going all over the world. Then the publishers called, and they said, hey, you got to write a real book. So I wrote my first one in 2012. It came out in 2013. And then now I've written 5 books with that same publisher. And they've all made it to the number one on the Amazon bestseller list for books in the gardening category. So they've done really well.
Oh, man, it's great experience for you and a great life. Laura had emailed, wondered if you ever got yellow jackets in your bales. She had a nest of yellow jackets that got into her bale.
Yeah, that'll happen. I've heard of that before. And I'll tell you a great way to get rid of them if you have a shop vac is you just take your shop vac out there before sunset, about half hour or so before sunset, turn your shop vac on and put the suck part of the hose right next to the hole. And by the time you come out an hour or two after dark, they'll all be sucked right up inside that vacuum. And then put one little squirt of hornet spray in there and you're done. And they'll get all of them.
Joe, I understand you have a question for me.
I do. I'm wondering with your long radio career, what's the most rewarding thing for you personally that's come from your radio fame?
Well, I think, today I opened a letter from a listener, Lori, and she had heard a program that I had done on Garden Talk, and it was by a photographer who had written a book, a very moving interview. She'd written a book about grief and gardening, and Lori had said she wasn't a photographer, but she was a poet, and she sent me talked about her losing her husband, and then sent me a poem that she wrote on the anniversary of his death, and just a very moving poem. And I guess the thing that, and it really lifted my heart a bit to hear her comments on how that show had helped her. And I think the thing I'll take away from my years here are the people like Lori or other people who had some illness that they learned about through the radio show or a tip that they got that they still use in their cooking today or just the pleasure they got out of listening. And I think that's the thing that I'm going to feel best about, that I brought some of that information and sometimes just fun to the people of the state. And Joel,
I agree.
Thank you so much. Joel Karsten, our guest, he and I have talked many times about straw bale gardening, and it's a pleasure.
Thanks again, Larry. I really appreciate you having me on so many times over the years.
I can't
thank you enough.
And Joel, thank you, Joel, for being with us and educating us all. And his website is strawbalegardens.com. And a big thanks to you for listening. You've been a great audience. Lee Rayburn, Jeff Robbins of our crew, Clara Kniper, Joel Patnod, all part of the gang, as is, of course, our overseer and boss, Jill Nadole. I'm Larry Mueller, and stay with us. Lots more in store.